I was crying during worship. I don't know about the rest of y'all. I'm going to pass these around. You guys can use them or not use them. There's only four pens in here. I don't know how they diminished like that. So if you have a pen, keep your own pen. You guys can feel free to participate or not participate. But go ahead and take one, pass it down. And I'm just going to pray. God, I just thank you for you being here tonight. God, we know that that you're always with us, that you live inside of us, God. But sometimes when your presence touches down, when it removes fears, when it just whispers in our ear, when there's that sweet communion with you, when we get a little taste of heaven touching earth, God, sometimes it makes it feel so much more real. God, so I thank you for the things that you've already done tonight. And I just ask that you would use my words to do the same thing in the message tonight, God, that you would just dwell here. It says that you dwell in the praises of your people. God, I just ask that even now as we're listening and as I'm speaking, that we would be singing your praises for who you are and just what it is that you've done for us. There's a part in worship where I was like, God, can we just sit here and you just like wreck everyone instead of me talking? Because like that would be better. And I just kind of felt him say like, no, like, I don't think you understand. Like, I'm using Alicia and Caleb on stage to like mess with you and whoever else was messed up. And like, I want to use you to like speak, you know, tonight. And he's like, that's the way that I do things. Like, I partner with people. He's like, for sure, I could do whatever I wanted, but I choose to like partner with my people. And I was just like, okay, if you say so, you know. So dang it, this is the second time. Last time I was crying too. This needs to stop. Okay, so I'm gonna talk about prayer tonight. We've been talking a lot in leadership about like, you know, what stuff we want to talk about with you guys. And so we've kind of been like going back to basic stuff. And I was like, prayer is so basic. Like, I love prayer, but like, I was like, I don't know that I want to talk about it. But I realized like sometimes even in the most basic, like elementary principles of God and who he is, like there's stuff that we've forgotten or there's like deeper nuggets that we haven't realized yet. So because I love prayer so much and just like what God's taught me over the years and even as I was studying to share with you guys, I just want to share about prayer tonight. There's so much that we can talk about. So I had to like keep like organizing my notes and taking stuff out and putting it to the bottom, be like, well, if I have time to like touch on that, then I will. But otherwise, like, we're just not even gonna think about that. And there's like a ridiculous amount of verses in scripture about prayer. So I have a lot of them. I'm not gonna read all of them. I might reference them. Just so you know that there, some of these subjects that I'm going to talk about are in like multiple gospels or in multiple verses all throughout scripture where God says the same thing over and over and over again. And that's an important thing because when God puts something using whoever he is to write that book over and over and over again in scripture, it's usually something that we need to remember. It's usually something that all of you know, the disciples at the time who were going to write it down were like, oh, that's important. And they all wrote it down. It's like, oh, well, maybe I should listen if all of them caught that one point. You know, maybe that's something that was really important. And maybe it wasn't the first time they heard it either, but that was the first time they wrote it down. I don't know. There's lots of speculation that can happen like that. So my first question to you is, when you pray, do you believe that things will happen when you pray? And that's a really loaded question. Because we can say, oh, yeah, you know, I believe God answers prayers. And it's like, but when it becomes personal to you, like, do you believe that God answers your prayers? And we're like, oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. Like, that's a little deeper, a little heavier, a little bit more of, well, he didn't answer that one thing, or he didn't, you know. And I'm not going to go into the whole negative aspect of, like, God not answering prayers. I'm not going to list the reasons, because there are certain things in Scripture of why God says, like, oh, this thing, I won't answer a person's prayer because of da-da-da-da. But there's so much speculation that happens that I don't want to even get into some of those scriptures. I just want to talk about the aspect of the fact that God does answer prayers and what in Scripture we can see that says he does and why he does. So I want to focus on the positive side of that. So one of the things that I I really appreciate that a couple people have said about me before is Abigail says it all the time. It's so encouraging to live with Abigail because she's just like, so by the way, since God answers your prayers, can you pray for me about this thing? And I'm like, oh, well, okay. But like, I've had a couple people, I know in one way, I'm like, can I pray for you? That like, you know that God answers your prayers too? Yeah, but the thing is, it's, thank you. Yeah, yeah. Blanket statement for the listeners later, if anyone listens to this. Abigail is fine. She does believe that Jesus answers her prayers. But I do appreciate the fact that people have seen things in my life that makes them say, like, I know he answers your prayers, so will you pray for me? Will you agree with me in this? Because I don't always feel like God answers all of my prayers. Sometimes he does the whole, like, well, yes, but not yet. You know, there's all of those different aspects of, you know, when God answers prayers, how, all that. But I feel like that's a very basic starting point that's really hard for us sometimes, is that God hears us and that he answers our prayers. And if we don't start with that, then why would we even pray? If we don't believe that he's listening or that he's going to answer our prayer, then what's the point? You know, there really isn't one, right? Then we're just like, okay, God, if you're up there somewhere and you care about me, will you please do this? I'm begging of you. And it's like, well, no. As a new creation in Christ, as a son or a daughter of God, as a priest, and as a king, which Scripture says that we all are, we can stand in that place of confidence and say, God, you said that you hear my voice. I'm going to pull up. I wasn't going to do this one yet. So we're going to go Old Testament first. So even in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have requests that we have asked of him. So essentially, there, and I'll go to John too. Maybe the bullet point. Maybe that's John 15:16. My bullet points might be off. Okay, well, I'm going to go to 1 John and 2 John if that one. It is a scripture. Maybe it's not what? Okay, maybe I meant to put that one in there and then they got swapped. Okay, well, that is in scripture. I don't know if that's the right reference then. I'll read two other scriptures that I have the right reference for. It's okay. I do this every time. I say Jerusalem instead of Bethlehem, or I say that Africa is a country instead of a continent. Like, there's always those little things in there. It's fine. What? Okay. So I was actually just thinking about that. I was like, God, I always mess it up. Like, are you sure you don't want to just talk? And he's like, yes, I'm sure. I'm going to talk, but I'm going to partner with you to talk. I'm like, okay, if you say so. So 1 John 5:14-15 says, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we ask. Oh, it is. That's the same verse that I just read. I put it in there twice and put Second Chronicles on the other one. And then John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father's name, he may give it to you. That's some intense stuff. If you actually think about that, he just said, and that was Jesus talking in John. First John was John. But if you guys were in Bible study, we studied First John, and we went through the, oh, who wrote First John? And it's like, well, everyone pretty much agrees that it was John. Yeah, exactly. So in that, Jesus is saying, he's like, if you're abiding in me, he's like, and you're aligned with my heart and you're asking for the things that are on my heart, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. And so I think that's sometimes, like, I feel like that's one of those, like, pro tips. Like, hey, if you're spending a lot of time with Jesus, he's probably going to answer the stuff you ask him, because you're probably asking for stuff he already wants. And he's just waiting for someone to ask for it and partner with him, because sometimes that takes effort on our part to actually carry it out. And it's like, oh, wow. Like, that verse messes me up. It's my favorite one, like, one of my favorite verses in Scripture in its entirety. Not that you're supposed to pick favorites, but the fact that, like, it's one of my favorites, so. But the fact that it says, if you ask anything in my name and you're aligned with me, then I'm going to give it to you. That's craziness. Like, he gives us so much power to walk out if we're walking with him. So I think about maybe like an Enoch, or, you know, somebody who was like walking, maybe even Adam, like walking in the garden with God. And he's like, hey, God, what about this? Like, I wonder, like, what the percentage rate of him asking for things happened. Because he was walking with God in that way. He was aligned with God. So those are just some of the things that I think about sometimes when I look at these verses. I'm like, this is craziness. Okay, so I want to kind of do the flip side of that. There was a girl that I met in high school, and I feel like I've heard this often enough. And this is the negative side of what Abigail was saying. She's like, I don't really believe this. But I've heard people say over and over again, like, God is too busy to answer my prayer. Or he has other things to do. Like, he's busy answering the people's prayers who are in Africa and they're dying from malnutrition. Or he'll answer your prayer, but he's not going to answer my prayer because I'm not worthy enough for him to answer my prayer. But I believe that he'll answer yours. And it's like, wait, no. Like, those are all lies. Those are all things that, like, that in our ignorance or in our misunderstanding of who God is, says that God doesn't care about us, says that he isn't listening to us, says that he's too busy. And, like, God isn't human like we are in the fact that his attention span is only so long, and he only can focus on one person at a time, and he only has so much time and energy to spend on, like, part of the world instead of the whole entire thing. It's like, no, he's omnipresent, and he cares about each and every one of us to a ridiculous degree of individuality. And we have favor with him as children, that we get to walk in these promises, that if we ask anything in his name, when we've aligned ourselves, when we're walking with him, when we're abiding in him, then it'll be given to us. Like, that's crazy. But sometimes I feel like if we really believed it, maybe we would ask for things differently. Or we would ask him for more things. Or we would walk in confidence when we approach his throne to ask him, saying, God, I know you're going to answer it. I just am going to make my request known to you as you've asked me to. One of the scriptures that I shared last time, this printed double-sided, so my pages are all in weird places, and I don't like it, was in Ephesians. Essentially, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, make your requests be known to God, and he will grant you peace that passes understanding. And that verse hit me so hard last time because I was talking about peace and us being anxious and like where those things come from. But he says in everything with prayer and supplication, present it to God. Everything. So when we start off looking at prayer, we have to have that foundation of faith, the foundation that he does care, the foundation that he wants to hear us pray, that he enjoys listening to us, even if we're just talking, like kind of like the communion type of prayer where we're just kind of like being with God, we're kind of processing with God. There's not really anything, I don't know, we're not like interceding for someone else where we're praying for this deep issue. Sometimes we're just like, God, I'm frustrated. Or God, you know, this, that, and the other thing. We're just kind of being with God. We're processing. We're involving him in what we're doing. That's still prayer. It's just a different kind. And then we have supplication, which is like actually the request part of it. We're actually like asking of God, God, will you do this? God, this is what I need. God, this is what's on my heart for you to do. And then, hold on, where's the other part? I really don't like how these are numbered. The other part is the fact that we don't fight an earthly battle. The battle that we have is spiritual. So if we look in Ephesians 6, it talks about how, I don't want to read the whole thing, but I'll read a couple verses. It says, for verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, and against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Well, dang. That got a little dark. But then he goes forward saying, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Therefore, and then he goes through like all of the armor of God, which if you were in kids' church or you were raised in the church, you probably had a little song or you probably like drew it like on the guy, you know, all that kind of stuff. But he goes through them and there's a bunch of them. And they're all really important. But what I want to note is that after he lists the rest of them, he says, taking the helmet of salvation is one of the last ones, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And then he's talking about boldly proclaiming the gospel. And so Tony, which some of you guys might know, Tony Houck, who's the pastor of Church on the Rock, had suggested something at one point, which I thought was really interesting. And he said, we kind of stop with, okay, so these are all the weapons that we have, you know, helmet of salvation, sword of truth. You know, we think of all these like, you know, crazy things when we're talking about armor in comparison. But the way that scripture kind of goes through is like he doesn't stop there. He keeps going and talking about prayer. And so he submitted to all of us, what if prayer was also one of our weapons? Which I think to a degree we all believe that, right? But what if it's more of like, what if it's like, I don't remember how many there are, like 9 or something. What if it's like the 9th or the 10th weapon that we have to fight things? And then that puts it in a little bit different perspective. Like, oh, like I always stopped here with sword of the Spirit. But what if prayer is also a weapon to the same degree? And I'm sure there's songs and all sorts of stuff about, you know, prayer being a weapon. But it put it in a different perspective for me in looking at it that way. Because he talks about prayer. He says, praying, prayer, supplication, supplication within 2 verses. So he kept talking about it over and over and over again, which, as I said, makes it sound important to me. So I went and I looked up all, I'm like, okay. So I kind of knew from like some Bible study previously. So what's the difference between all of those words? Are they all the same words? Are they different? What is he instructing us to do? What does that even mean? Because if this is part of the armor of God, or even if it's just after the armor of God and he's still instructing us, this is what you have to do to withstand the enemy. What does that mean? And this is like I said, one section of scripture out of like tons of verses. And I'll share a couple other ones with you, but I wanted to kind of camp on Ephesians 6 for a minute. And so Ephesians 6, 18 is the one that starts with all of the different prayer, supplication, prayer. Actually, I guess it's just in verse 18 that he mentions it four times, which, as we know, the original scripture didn't have all the verses and numbers and everything. But so the first one, when he says praying, he's just talking about the overarching topic of prayer. There's nothing really special in that one. It's just meaning what we think of as prayer, talking to God about something. The second one, it's a different word, and it's talking about praying earnestly. It's like this deep, like prayer, like it's intentional, it's focused. There's an intensity to it. It's also called an act of worship, this particular version of prayer. So here's a couple of places in scripture where this particular verse is used. In Matthew 21:13, when Jesus turns over the tables and says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves," they're using that version of prayer, earnestly praying. He mentions that in three different gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all record that same thing, that verse, that sentence that Jesus says, that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Then in Mark, when they're praying for that demon to come out of that guy, and it doesn't, and they're like, "Why didn't it come out?" And Jesus responds and says, "This kind can only come forth with prayer and fasting." It's the same prayer, that earnest prayer. It's the same word that's used there. And then, that's Mark 9:29. And then in Luke 22:45, when Jesus is at the garden and he asks the disciples to pray for him and they fall asleep, it says, "And when he rose up from prayer, he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping." That's the same prayer. That's some intense prayer. Like, there is intentionality there. There is an earnest prayer. Like, in the garden, he was, like, sweating blood in the garden. Like, that's how intense that prayer was. When the only time you see Jesus be violent, quote unquote, is when he, like, throws the tables across the room because he's like, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." It's the same word. Like, that's some interesting, intense, like, prayer. And that's what it says when he says, "With all prayer and supplication." That's the prayer that it's talking about. Then when he goes on to say supplication, that's the request part. That's presenting, you know, not a demand on God, but a want, a desire, a need. So when John the Baptist was not born yet, and his dad, Zacharias, I was studying a lot of John the Baptist before this. I almost was going to preach on John the Baptist, but I was like, no, I don't feel like I'm supposed to yet. I need to simmer on this a little more. In Luke 1:13, Zacharias, John the Baptist's dad, was sitting there, and the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and you'll call him John." So the prayer that it's talking about there is that supplication, that asking of God. "God, I want a son. God, I'm asking for a son." That, like, earnest prayer. It's not necessarily begging, because I feel like I've done it myself. But when we get to that point of, like, begging God for something, that we're not really trusting him. And we're also, I heard someone say it like this. I wish I could remember who it was to give them credit. But they said, when we're begging God for something, to that point, we're saying, "God, I believe that I'm more merciful than you, that I know what the right thing is to do for this person, and you're not willing to do it because I have to beg you to have mercy on this person or this situation." And I was like, "Oh, I don't want to do that." Like, that's a little intense. I don't want to put myself in that position. But the fact of submitting that request to God and saying, "God, I know that you are fully capable of this. I know that you know exactly what's going on and you can see things in the situation that I can't. I trust that you want to make things right. I trust that you're a just God, but this is what I'm asking for. And I trust that if that's not what you want right now, like, I'm aligning myself with you. Is a little bit better way than, like, begging God, which, guys, I have been there. I have been there. I would think that's why it hit me so hard. I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I trust you. I'm not more merciful than you in any capacity. Please let me remind myself of that. So another verse where supplication is used is when Jesus was born and they brought him to the temple. In Luke 2:37-38, if anyone's writing them down. They essentially dedicated Jesus, which in Jewish culture is way more like intense. There's a whole ritual that goes along with it of like a purification rather than like what we think of as baby dedications. But for our understanding in American culture, that's essentially what it was they brought him to the temple for the ceremony. And there was a guy named Simeon who was there. And a lot of like Jesus or God essentially told Simeon, like, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. So he was like flipping out. He was so excited. So it talks about Simeon, this old guy, and then it talks about this prophetess, Anna. And she was there, and immediately, as soon as she saw Jesus, she's 84 at this point in time, scripture tells us, she went and started telling everybody about the fact that Jesus was born, and that's what she had been praying for. So it says, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer. That's that supplication prayer, night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So she just starts telling everybody. She's like, everybody, this is what we've been waiting for. This is what I've been praying for. My voice is going to get really high. Like, this is the thing that we have been waiting for. Like, listen, like, it has happened. And I'm sure that she was so excited because she'd been praying for so long. It said that when she was widowed, she just started sitting at the temple and praying and fasting all day and night. Like, that was her new occupation. That's what she did with her life when her husband died. And I was like, man, like, I want to be an Anna. Like, I don't want my husband to die. I mean, I want a husband, and then I don't want him to die. But, like, that is, like, an amazing thing to give your life to God in that way. Okay, and then when Jesus ascended to heaven and he left everyone with this mission to wait for the Holy Spirit until they, like, before they started to, like, minister and do all this stuff, Acts 1:14 says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And that supplication is that same asking of God that, it kind of reminds me of, like, when the widow kept, like, asking and asking and asking and, like, didn't let up. And Jesus said, like, oh, as he's telling the story, like, her faith is what made the judge, like, relent. It's that kind of, it's that persistent asking. But it's not like a begging because I don't believe that you'll do it or that you didn't hear me. But it's, I feel like it's kind of like that reminder that, like, Abraham and Moses gave God sometimes where he's like, hey, you remember that promise that you gave Israel? Like, I want to cash in on that. Like, remember that promise? Like, you said, it's kind of like that. Like, I'm asking you for this because I know it's mine. I know it's my inheritance. So I'm going to, like, cash in now. I'm going to say this is what I want. But at the same time, still saying, like, God, I understand, you know, you're in charge. I understand that we are partnering here, and, like, you see more than I do. And then the last scripture in that stream of supplication is Paul in Romans 10:1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's the same supplication of asking God for something. So we kind of see, like, different kinds of prayer, and in some ways it's splitting hairs to, like, distinguish between the two, but scripture uses both words, so I figured we should know what they mean. But it's not going to be like, oh, are you praying or are you supplicating right now? Like, I don't know. It's not like, I don't care. I think a lot of times we do it without realizing we're doing it because we just kind of understand how it works, you know? Did you have a question? Okay, comment. That's awesome. So God's already been like doing this in your life and showing you the differences. Yeah, pray continually. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes just the intentionality makes a big difference. Yeah. I love 30-second prayers. I, all day long, in my car, when something comes up, when someone posts something on Facebook, and I'm like, oh, man, like, I need to pray for this person. But, yeah, there's a difference sometimes, even in our heart, maybe even not the way that we're doing it, but a shift in our heart and how we're viewing God and how we're interacting with him in prayer can make a huge difference. That's really cool. Thank you for sharing. Okay. So, have you ever thought, gee, it'd be great if Jesus told me how to pray? Joke. Okay. There is a prayer in Scripture that we see that Jesus says this is how you ought to pray. But I'm going to pause there, let you ruminate in that terrible joke, and say this. Before he expresses or gives an example to the disciples of how to pray, he says a couple other things. He talks about how all of the religious leaders of the day, and this is in Matthew 6 if anybody wants to look it up, they would pray out loud for everyone to hear them, and they would make all sorts of noise so that you knew that they were praying and that they were so spiritual, and they did it for the attention of other people. And so he says, don't do that. He says, don't pray like the hypocrites. But sometimes people take that to say, don't pray out loud, or don't pray in a microphone, or, you know, you just need to pray in your prayer closet at home, you know. And that's a complete wrong way to think about it, because he was saying, don't pray for attention. Don't go up to the microphone just because you want to be heard and you want everyone to know how awesome your prayer is. He's like, pray because that's the desire of your heart, and you just want to share it, and you want others to come into agreement with you, and you want to interact with me, and other people, are just involved, not because you want attention. Then the other thing that he says is, hold on, I lost it, is the fact that he already knows what you're going to pray before you pray it. So it's not like he's completely unaware and you have to, like, let him know, like, hey, God, by the way, I'm struggling. He knows everything. But when we come to him with something, it's more about our own hearts than about his. He's already the most compassionate. He's already the most willing and the most, paying attention. Like, he sees everything. It talks about in another part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:5-7, that he sees when a sparrow flies, or when a sparrow dies. He sees, like, the grass on the ground, and he covers it with flowers greater than Solomon's splendor. Like, first of all, Solomon was super rich. So he had, like, anything he wanted, all of the imports of all of the fabrics of anything. But that he clothes the grass with flowers that are more beautiful than the riches of all the world. And it's like, wow. And he's like, so if I care about that, how much more do I care about you? He's like, infinitely more. Infinitely more. Like, you were created in my image. Like, you have my spirit in you. I care so much more about you. I know what you're going through. But when you come to me, that's you saying, okay, God, like, I need your help. That's more about us than it is about him. So it's not that we don't go to him, but he does know what we're struggling with. It's not a surprise to him. And even if it's our sin and we're asking for forgiveness, he's not like, oh, you did what? No, like, he knows. He's not surprised. This is not like a new thing to him. So I just wanted to, like, say that, first of all. And it also says not to be repetitive. So one of the things that the Pharisees and Sadducees or whoever, they were saying the same words over and over and over again. And it's not just like when I repeat myself because I'm like trying to make a point or trying to figure it out in my head. It's like I want to say these things so that I sound like I have a lot of words and a lot of very important things to say. Like I'm repeating myself for the purpose of being heard again, for being noticed. And so when I talk about a couple of these things, it's not. So if we look at the Serenity Prayer, some of you may know, the Lord's Prayer, the prayer of Jabez or apostolic prayers or any of the prayers that people kind of repeat, it's not about the fact that we shouldn't repeat those prayers, but it's more about the fact of, are we meaning it when we're praying it? So my sister, actually, we were talking about something the other day, and she said, she's like, actually, sometimes a Serenity Prayer really helps me out. And this is, oftentimes it's used in recovery. Sometimes you'll see, like, the little tiny verses of it in on, like, a keychain or something. But it says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever and in the next. Amen. So it's a prayer that has some really good stuff in it. I can't tell you the origin or any of that stuff. But the fact that it's used often isn't a bad thing that it's repeated, but it's like, are you believing these words when you pray them? Are you doing it intentionally? Or are you just doing it because, oh yeah, like I think of, like if we're reading the Lord's Prayer, or I think of like a Catholic service, and I'm not trying to pick on Catholics, but it's the only thing I can think of, where they say the same prayers over and over, that might not be a bad thing. You might have one person who's praying those prayers repeatedly and it means nothing to them. They're doing it because it's tradition. But then you have another person that every time they go to pray those prayers, they're thinking about the words that they're praying and they're praying them over and over and over again intentionally. And we used to have some kids when I went to a detention center, they would say the Lord's Prayer every time they prayed. And sometimes you could tell the kids that were like, oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. Like, you could hear it in their voices. Like, they could care less. They were just doing it because they had to. And if they didn't pray, they didn't get to eat. Like, that was all it was. But then the other kids, you could hear them put the emphasis on the words. You could hear them internalize those words. Like, Father, forgive me. You know, they were saying those things intentionally. It's just kind of like the Pledge of Allegiance when we used to have to say it in school for all those that went to school, a public school. I don't think they do it anymore. But sometimes we just say it. Like, people, those kids didn't care. They weren't pledging allegiance to their country. They were just saying it because they had to say it, you know? So it's kind of like that concept, where if you don't mean the words, then don't be repetitive, and don't be repetitive just to be heard by other people. But that doesn't mean that we can't take what Jesus gave us, what the apostles gave us, to pray off of, because praying scripture is an amazing thing. It's the best place to start, because especially the words that Jesus said, you know, that we are expressing those things and we're coming into agreement with them. So, the Lord's Prayer, as we know it, he says, then pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then he talks about, like, if you forgive other people, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. So there's a couple of things that I kind of take from that. Really, some people are like, there's a 7-point, you know, message in the Lord's Prayer. There's lots of things that we can take from it. But one of the best things that I've heard about the Lord's Prayer is that it always starts with the recognition of who God is and how awesome he is, in like a thanksgiving way, just this honoring, like, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we're identifying that he's our Father, and we're identifying that, like, he is so amazing, that he's so holy. And sometimes when we start like that, I've incorporated that into my prayer life, that I always try to, like, identify, like, okay, God, regardless of what's happening in my life, regardless about what I'm going to ask you, regardless of any other thing, any other thought in my head, or any of the things that maybe I don't even believe right now, I'm going to agree with scripture and say, you're holy, you're my Father, you're a good Father. And I'll even incorporate other scriptures from other places in these things that are true about God, so that I'm in this understanding of who he is. So when I ask, I'm not begging. So when I ask, I'm coming confidently before him saying, okay, my situation doesn't seem like you're on the throne right now. However, I believe that you have never not been on your throne, that you never fell off, that you, regardless of what's happening at any place in the world, in my heart or in my life, are always, like, above everything, that you see it and you care about it. So now, with that understanding, as a daughter, I'm going to come to you with this. And that has changed the way that I've prayed. Now, it's not like, I don't know, like a lowly servant. Now, as John says, I come to him like a friend. I come to him like a daughter. I come to him like a bride, saying, okay, God, I need to understand what you are like as beloved, because I don't understand it right now. I don't understand this quality about you. I don't understand these things, so I need to experience it from you, but I believe that you have it. Instead of, I don't know, kind of whining and complaining, which I also do, but I try to stay away from it. I try to always align myself, first step, align myself with what he's doing. That doesn't mean I don't vent sometimes and like yell and, you know, just kind of process with him. But in that intentionality of coming before him, I start with that thanksgiving, that worship, that alignment with God. And then submitting my request to him. Where they say, give us this day our daily bread and forgive. So give us this day our daily bread. They're asking for something. They're like, God, provide for us. Like, we trust you, but we're asking for you to provide for us. Like, you know that we need you to provide for us, or we're not going to make it. And then he's talking about forgiving. Then he kind of goes, forgive us our debts, as we've forgiven other people, lead us not into temptation. So he kind of goes back and forth. But so the other two parts are the supplication and then the forgiveness. And in forgiveness, it's receiving his forgiveness over our sins, but then also forgiving other people. So it's kind of like a two-part thing. And sometimes I think, I don't know, we don't tend to forget the Jesus forgiving us part. I think sometimes we tend to forget the forgiving other people part. We're like, but that one's a little hard right now. Like, I'm really not feeling like, you know, forgiving Joe, or I don't know, name a person. You know, whatever name popped into your head when I said that, you know, who is it? I don't have any problems with Joe. I know a Joe, but I don't have any issues, so. I was like, who's not in the room? Someone that there's no Joe. Go. So on your papers, I'm going to talk for just another minute. Maybe not even. But go ahead and write down, like, alignment with God, if you choose to participate. Alignment with God is the first one. And then supplication / request is the second one. And then forgiveness is the third one. So I just kind of want us to kind of take what Jesus gave us as an example of the Lord's Prayer and just kind of like do it on our own. I don't need us to pray for each other or anything like that tonight. But to just kind of engage with what I've said. And kind of the example that Jesus gives us. So, try something new. Or maybe you guys have done all this stuff before and you're like, okay, I've heard this. Okay. Wow, I read through all this stuff. Pretty surprised with myself. Okay. I know I did talk a little bit about intercession. I just wanted to touch on it again. That's probably one of my other favorite types of prayer, is intercession. And essentially, if you don't know what that means, essentially all it means is I'm praying for someone. Usually it's for someone else. Sometimes it's for our own situation, but it's they call it standing in the gap sometimes, which you're like, what does that mean? But essentially it's exactly what it sounds like. Someone's not there, and you're putting yourself in their place, and you're praying for them like you would pray for your own self if that situation was happening to you. It could be something as far off as, like one of my friends right now is in Africa with Iris, Heidi Baker's ministry, and she was ministering to all of these children that were in orphanages. And so it could be something that I've never experienced before. It's so far out of like my reach that I don't even really have a grid for it. But she asks, hey, this is happening. This thing is going on. Sometimes missionaries will send out things and you're not really connected with them, but you see a post on Facebook or you see something that happens and you're like, wow, like, even though I don't know anything about that, my heart goes out to them. Like, I'm going to pray for them. But you get into this position of as if it were your own, that you are fervently praying for them. But then it could be someone like your own family member, and maybe you're praying for someone to get saved, and so you're interceding for them, or maybe someone's sick, and you're praying for them. So it could hit really close to home, or it could be really far away. Oftentimes for me, it's like stuff that happened to my friends, and so I am like interceding for my friends, and I'm like, okay, God, like, I'm not okay with this situation. I know you're not okay with this situation. Like, I want you to make it right. Like, tell me the words to pray. Give me the encouragement to send to them when they're in this difficult time. What is it that they need? What is it that you have for them? That tends to be where I land with that. But that's another kind of prayer. And like I said, splitting hairs with prayer wasn't really my goal. I just kind of wanted to express the fact that there are different ways to pray, and there's different ways we interact with God, and all of them are valid. The communion part, where you're just with God and you're just processing with God, and you're not necessarily praying, but there's kind of prayers in there, and there's kind of, usually it gets all mixed together when we're spending time with God. But there are different purposes for some of them, essentially. And then Thanksgiving is the other one, is just praising God for who he is. And oftentimes we do that in worship, because essentially worship is like prayer in a song form. That's essentially what's happening there. Like all of the Psalms, it's like David praying, but he's singing the prayers that he has, which sometimes sounds a lot nicer than when we're just talking. And then we also have praying in the Spirit, which I didn't want to touch on too much tonight, but there's a lot of scriptures about it. Actually, in Ephesians, the first thing that he says is praying at all times in the Spirit. And then if you look at Jude, he talks about stirring yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. And there's a couple other verses. And I know we've talked about it as a church before. In 1 Corinthians 14, it talks a lot about praying in the Spirit. And there's other verses that talk about it as well. But essentially, that's like praying in a language that's not your own. It's not a natural language. You're not praying in English or in Spanish. You're praying in a heavenly language, essentially. Some people call it an angelic language, but you're just praying with God, but it's a spiritual thing rather than you putting forth your own words. And that's a whole nother subject, so I'm not going to go too far into it, but that is another kind of praying. It's also, well, another one of my favorite ways of praying, because I just like praying. But I wanted to share that with you guys tonight, because I just want to reiterate the fact that, like, your prayers are powerful. Like, you have power when you ask God for things. You have power as a son or daughter of God. You have power as a priest and a king, the way that God always intended it to be from, like, the beginning of time, and the Israelites kept, like, not getting it right. That each and every individual was supposed to have that relationship with God, to be able to say, God, I'm coming to you as a bride. I'm coming to you as a daughter. I'm coming to you as a friend. I'm coming to you, and I'm asking for this from you. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. Other versions say the prayer of a righteous person availeth much, if you want to go King James on it. But the fact is that your prayers are effective and they're powerful, especially when you're praying for people to be healed, when you're being vulnerable with one another and you're confessing your sins, which is, I know, not our most favorite thing to do. And then again, the Philippians 4:6-7. I don't know if I said Ephesians earlier, but it's Philippians 4:6-7 that says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, which is supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Jesus Christ. There's like countless verses on prayer in scripture. So I just wanted to present a few of them to you guys and encourage you guys that maybe you have an amazing prayer life and you and Jesus love to just sit and talk and pray for people. But maybe you realize, oh man, like I haven't been as intentional as I should be about prayer. Maybe I need to like think about spending some more time or setting aside a time and just kind of like making sure I'm doing it. I know when I was going through this, I remember all the times that I went to morning prayer and I'd go with one of my friends, even when we had to work early in the morning, we're like, okay, we can only be here for like an hour, but we're going to do it. We're going to get up early and we're going to go to prayer and we're going to pray for whatever the situation is, whatever came up. Oftentimes people are in the hospital or there's stuff going on around the world and we kind of had prayer topics. Other times it was like, whatever you feel led to pray for, or if you have a personal thing that you heard from outside, like present it to the group and we'll pray for it, or we'll pray for each other. But I remember those times of going to prayer, and even when I was little, I went with my dad, and sometimes he would make us go. Like when we were little, he's like, we're going to prayer as a family. I'm like, ah, dad, it's like summer break. I don't want to get up that early and go to prayer on a Tuesday. Like, why? But those times like taught me a lot about what prayer means and me seeing my prayers answered or seeing my dad's prayers answered. And I'm like, wow, prayer is powerful. Taught me something. And then I was like, you know what? I kind of want to go to prayer. Like, I kind of want to go and do that with you and be a part of the body in that way. And then I started doing it on my own. It's a lot easier sometimes when you have someone else to keep you not accountable, like, hey, you didn't do that, but like to go with you and just to do it together. Sometimes that makes it a lot easier to not skip out. And also you have someone in agreement with you. But I know we don't have prayer here anymore. Well, currently, we don't have like a pre-service prayer. At some point, I think we might bring that back. We haven't officially decided anything yet, but, I know there's oftentimes in before service, like I was passing the building today and of course I was teaching, so it was a little more like focused, but I was just praying, God, show up. Like, I know you're always here, but like do something, like impact people. Like, just come and, like, do whatever you want to do in people's hearts tonight. And there's often times where that's something that I pray, even without having a specific pre-service prayer, and maybe you guys do too. So I want to encourage you guys, if there's any place that you haven't stepped into in prayer, like, ask God, what does that look like for you? And how can you be more intentional about interacting with him in that way? Or maybe there's something that I mentioned that you're like, oh, I didn't think about it that way, or I haven't really incorporated that into my prayer life. If you guys didn't write anything down, no worries. If you did, feel free to kind of like take a couple minutes. It's not quite 8 yet, but it's getting there. To just think about like, what is something that's on your heart right now that falls under that, like, aligning with God, the supplication and the forgiveness aspect. And even if you take it home, like, I'm never going to know. But I just thank you, God, for just even allowing us to be here. Like, it's crazy to think that in another country we couldn't gather here. We would have to be hidden. We maybe couldn't have our Bibles with us, or we have to like leave our cell phones outside the door because we didn't want people to know that Christians were gathering. So I just even thank you for the ability that we have to gather in a place and worship you freely. I thank you for that freedom that we have right now. And I just thank you that you are holy, that you are other than, that there's no one like you and there never will be anyone like you. And I just ask that all the things that are on everybody's hearts, that are stirring in their minds, that are aggravating them, that are keeping them up at night, that are just really frustrating us, that are taking our peace, I ask that that you would give them an answer to that you would solve the problem, that the things that seemed like they would take years or longer, months, that they would be solved. God, I just release over this congregation a faith and a hope in what you're doing in this year in their life and in our community. God, that we would have hope in knowing that nothing is impossible for you, And that when we come to you and ask for things in prayer, that we can come with confidence saying, God, as your daughter, as a priest, as a king, as an ambassador, I'm presenting this request to you, and I know that you hear me, and I know that you want to answer me. And God, in those situations when we don't hear back right away or when we're not really sure, and I ask that you would bring clarity. I ask that you would show that you would show up in those situations that it seems like there's no way out of. And God, when there are times that you say no, God, that we would realign ourselves with you and say, okay, God, then show me what is true. Show me what you see, because I need a different perspective, because right now that doesn't make sense. And I just bless everyone as they leave this place tonight, because you go with us everywhere. I ask that even your presence would rest on us this week, that people would ask why there's something different about us, why there's a little pep in our step, why there's that extra smile or joy. God, as we're just tapping into what you have for us. And God, I even go to the point of removing depression from people, removing feelings of unwantedness or being undesirable. I remove all of the things that are not of you, all of the lies, and that you would replace them this week with your truth. Even tonight, God, I ask right now that you would release truth into each person's heart about something they might be struggling with or a lie that they've been believing that maybe they don't even know it. God, that your the truth of your word would replace anything that's not of you, anything that is taking us and removing us from feeling your love or knowing your love in a deeper capacity. God, I thank you that you hear all of us as we pray, as we write things down, and as we talk to you about them. I thank you that you've heard my prayer, and I thank you for doing it. And I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So if you guys wrote stuff down, feel free to like take a minute and pray. If you didn't or you want to take it home, that's fine too. Or if you're just like, nah, not about that activity. but that's it. Thanks.